Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the midlife podcast that doesn't care if you're hormonal, forgetful and unfathomably irritated 97% of the time, but aims to provide you with a safe place to be all those things. I'm Sarah Kaywood and I used to be on the telly, just in case you forgot that nugget along with the reason you walked into the kitchen. And my co-host is Lou Mitchell, who is frankly unforgettable. Aren't you, babe?
I don't know about that.
You look really lovely. I know this is a podcast.
Thank you.
You look really nice.
My skin is really bad. Look at my forehead. Does anybody else get really dodgy skin as they've got into their 50s? I think I'm going to have to change my skin routine. So what you were telling me about earlier, we'll come into it, I suspect.
Absolutely. So new beauty company people, watch my socials. Yes. I've got something to tell you on that. Who was it? It was one of my friends that said, oh, I know who it was. It's my friend Sappho, who is a wonderful... she's fabulous, isn't she? She's a wonderful jewellery lady.
Jeweller.
And she said that she can look around a room and tell the women who are postmenopausal by their faces. Where you get... So I've now getting the... You're better than mine. I'm getting the jowls. I'm getting the neck... What does Caitlin Moran call it? A wattle. I'm getting a wattle here.
Like a turkey.
Yeah, and this, and around my chin, we're pointing to our chins, podcast listeners.
Yeah.
We're pointing to where it's just, and I can see how I'm going to look as an old
lady.
It's
like a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Lola's got an app where she ages you 15 years. It's all right. It didn't frighten me. It still looked like me. And I just thought,
my Botox is worn off. And in a very middle class skint way. I'm definitely only middle class skint. We're doing all right. But I can't afford any at the moment. So that's an it's a travesty. Our mutual best friend has her 50th coming up next month. So I'm going to have to do something. Rob a bank. Something's got to be done. I am not going to...
Somebody do something. Don't worry. We'll set up a Just Giving page.
Please do. I need some lip filler. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. And she's going to do me a little eye bag filler as well. So I need all of that. I probably need about 700 quid, people, if we could just raise that. How are you, Lou? Are you all right? Are you in moving house hell?
I am in moving house hell, but I am organised, so I'll be okay. But I'm a little...
Isn't it, and this gets trotted out every time we all move, but isn't it something like the third most stressful thing a human can do after bereavement and divorce?
Yes, and I'm trying to not let it stress me out, but my sleep's shit anyway, isn't it? But my sleep is definitely affected, my skin is crap, and I'm operating and my vibration is far too high for myself, let alone anyone else around me.
Are you finding with 2023, it's got a bit of a weird energy? I'm like, okay, I'm not a woo person, but I don't know anybody who's, we're all just sort of, it's meh. It's M-E-H 2023 for me so far. It's just a bit meh. Subsequently, I just want to redecorate everything, and we haven't got the money to do that. But I just want to change things. I want to change things up. I'm itchy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Well, I'm about to move.
Yeah, so like, you're doing the thing.
As you know, so I am doing the thing. And when I need to do it, I do do it. But yeah, if there's nothing particularly to change, that I can imagine that would be a bit frustrating, actually.
Anyway, should we crack on with our guest?
Go for it.
Our guest today has a rich history in print media, working on many of the magazines that we loved back in the day, the best one being More Mag, where she was executive editor, then followed her super successful blog, Not Another Mummy Blog, best name ever, and now she's a well-respected influencer and podcaster, Netmum social media manager, as well as a mummy to 4.5-year-old twins. Eek! Please welcome Alison Perry.
Hello.
Ribbles, ribbles. Hi, love. Yeah. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I'm sat here with a nice cup of tea on my sofa.
Good.
Chatting to you guys. What could be better?
isn't podcast. You know what? Perfect. Podcasting's bloody lovely for that, isn't it?
It's not a job.
It's not a job.
It's not a job, is it, really?
It's so good. It's so good.
I know. I love it because Lou and I, when we first started Irregular Bitches, we used to go to a podcast lounge, which was sexy and fabulous. But actually, then lockdown hit, and now I don't think it's really a thing. I think everybody does them remotely, don't they?
Yeah. When I started my podcast in 2017, I used to travel to wherever my guest was. I would like rock up at their house, wherever they were. I would travel the country. And now I'm like, I'm just going to do it on like remotely. Like, why would I get in my car and drive miles?
What do you mean, leave my house? Why would I do that?
Irregular
bitches.
Anyway, lovely Alison. Basically, this, I've always wanted you on the podcast, but then I saw Alison when we went to an event in London last week, and she walked past me at Wembley at this street food. What's it called? Like that place where we were?
Box Park.
That's it, Box Park. Very fancy and very trendy and very young. And she walked past me and I was like, that's Alison Perry. Like, I've seen her on Instagram. It's the new telly. I've seen her. She's famous, she is. So I was like, Alison, Alison. And she turned around, she's like, where's that voice coming from? It was me. So we did that thing where I'm like, I know you. Cuddles. And then I was like, oh, now I can ask her. Yeah. Now we've officially met. I can ask her to come on. So
we've
thank
met.
You.
Yeah, so you can ask me to come on your podcast.
Well, actually, then when I was writing your intro earlier, I was like, have we met before? Because you did Top of the Pops online. Obviously, I presented it.
Yeah.
And you've done okay. And also, you've done loads of print media. And I was like, oh, please don't tell me that she's interviewed me.
I don't think we have met.
No, I don't think we have.
No, I don't think so. No, definitely not. And I can't remember. Well, what years did you present Top of the Pops? Because I worked on the website around about 2000 to 2001. So I don't know if that was when
I was
presenting it.
I think I was after. Oh, God only knows. I can't even remember. I can't remember my own name these days. I don't think it was then. I think I was doing Live and Kicking then. Yes, I think I was doing Live and Kicking. What was that, Lou?
I loved Live and Kicking.
I loved it. I loved Live and Kicking as well. I loved doing it, but we were the last cast to do it, and it was 10 and everybody was watching Ant and Dec by then, and we were just like every week me and Katie and Trey and Otis would be like, do you think anybody watching us today, because SMTV was killing us. Did you watch it till the bitter end, Lou?
Yeah. Loved it. It was my Saturday morning, hungover. I've only been in the house a few hours.
Back and forth because obviously SMTV had ad breaks. We'd be flicking backwards and forwards between the two.
Yeah.
So you were definitely getting some viewers.
You know what? And the sweetest thing is, like, when we did our last one, we were sort of like the ratings were dwindling and dwindling. I think the BBC pulled the plug, bless them. And SMTV, the week we did our last show, and we had Steps on, and they were quite a big booking back then. But SMTV had such shit guests on that day, and we were like, we really think they gifted us our last. They were like, let's because they could have had like Take That on or whoever was massive at the time and just mullered us, but they didn't. It was like rubbish, and it was the last ever Live and Kicking, and I said the last ever word, which was thanks to everybody, blah blah, thank you, but mainly thanks to you guys made Live and Kicking what it was, the longest running Saturday morning TV show of all time. That's see you later.
So
I know. And that was it. And then run titles.
Though, Sarah,
yeah.
You're having the last laugh because, like, Ant and Dec, where are they now? It's not like they're still around.
Exactly. Disappeared off the face of the earth.
I mean,
no
where
idea.
Are they now?
Good point, well made.
Fuckers. Anyway, thank you. Thanks, Alison. I mean, I can't remember the 90s and noughties. I don't know about you. How old were you? How old? You're not that much younger than us, are you?
I'm 44,
right.
So yeah, the 90s was, yeah, my teens and then university, and then I started, my first job was at Top of the Pops in 2000. I graduated in 2000 and got a job at Top of the Pops.
That's an amazing first job.
That's a good first job. Yeah, well done. Good work.
And it was like,
I landed on my feet.
It was kind of the end of Britpop and the beginning of Brit Rock, wasn't it? So, because I remember the noughties were very much
the Kooks
and all of that, and Razorlight and Brit Rock, and Britpop was sort of, it was just ebbing. It was evolving by then.
Yeah, but I remember interviewing Steps, Hearsay, Billy Piper, Spice Girls. They were still doing a few releases. Amazing. Then Madonna came on, Robbie Williams. It was like, it was a golden age of pop music, yeah. Really. It was a good time.
Was it when Andy Peters was producing it?
I don't even remember, you know, because we were the website, it was a website I worked on, yeah. And we were very separate. We weren't part of the whole production team. So we were like in a back room somewhere. We weren't even at TVC. We were based at BBC Woodlands, which was like up the road, you know, kind of hidden in a back cupboard. So yeah, but we got to go to the recording every week up at Elstree. So
Elstree, that definitely wasn't me. No, that wasn't that's me because cool. I did one at Elstree when Jane Middlemiss got food poisoning, and that's the only time I've ever met Zoe Ball. She did. They were like, Jane's got food poisoning. Can Sarah like fill in? And that was when Cotton Eye Joe was number one. So, and I wore the most hideous outfit, which you'd see.
I was going to say.
You'd see it on the street now.
That's no Robbie. That's no Madonna,
I know,
Sarah.
I know. But I tell you what was number two was Gnarls Barkley with Crazy, I think.
Oh, so there you go.
That was when it was. I vividly remember throwing to Cotton Eye Joe.
Take that.
As number one. And then it moved to TV Centre. And that was when it was at TV Centre. So, and there was we had a star bar, and everybody used to just stay in there afterwards.
I remember the star bar.
One of Muse once got me so drunk that I had to feel my way along the wall to get out of TV Centre and into a car. I got home and puked everywhere.
I remember.
So
they had
Dominic.
A big, this is probably really boring. This is probably really boring for other people, but they had a big party when it moved back to Television Centre, and we got invited. And they had vodka jelly shots, and I had far too many vodka jelly shots. And I ended up in a conversation with Lulu, because they had all of these like amazing like stars from yesteryear, like iconic stars. I ended up in a chat with Lulu that I couldn't get out of, like as in, I think somebody from Pan's
That's
People
hilarious.
Joined us, and they knew each
oh
other.
My God.
And then I was stuck there, and they were having a conversation, and I was so drunk that I was like, I don't know how to extract myself from this conversation. And my friends, I could see them. My friends were like over there going, walk away, walk away. Like they were so embarrassed for me. I was like, I don't know. And I was just standing there going, yes, okay. It's like Lulu.
Doing noddies.
Member of Pants People.
What an amazing world to be in, though.
I know.
Where you stood in a conversation with somebody from Pants People and Lulu.
Did you and Lulu have a Scots off?
Yeah, my accent definitely got stronger, as hers tends to when she's talking to someone who's Scottish. I suddenly got very Scottish talking to her.
God, honestly, I could sit and reminisce all day. But let's get to it.
Irregular Bitches.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So we had our children at the same age, Alison. We were both 40. I had Hunter when I was 40 and Autumn when I was just 41 by a couple of months. I had to pack them in because I was worried my ovaries would pack up. And you had twins.
I had twins,
How's that?
Well, I had my first when I... But I've got a 12-year-old as well.
Right,
so I had her when I was 31, 32, I think. And then I had my twins 4 years ago. And it was kind of the journey to that was kind of a bit of a surprise to me because so going back, I've got endometriosis.
Ah,
so
okay.
When I was in my 20s, doctors were saying to me, "You're going to find it hard to conceive. You're going to find it hard to have a baby." And when my husband and I were like, oh, let's see, you know, if we can have a baby, I came off the pill and within 3 months I was pregnant.
Amazing.
I was like, oh, okay, so maybe this isn't going to be a problem for
me.
That
was easy.
Yeah, like, okay, job done. And then when it came round to trying again, I was a little bit like, well, it was easy the first time round. And it took 5 years and 2 rounds of IVF. So second time round, it wasn't quite as easy. So I think I was like 35, yeah, when we were like, actually, let's try again. But yeah, I think I was maybe a few months off turning 40 when I ended up having the twins. So yeah, it never goes as you expect it to, does it?
No.
You know?
No.
Did you find out on the scan? Is that where you found out you were having twins? Because that was my fear, having one already, to then go for the scan and find out it was twins. How was that?
Well, it was always a possibility because it was our second round of IVF and because I was so old. I mean, I really wasn't old, but in terms of pregnancy, I mean, you know, geriatric parents. Yeah. You know,
what a word to use. What a word.
Isn't it something like 36? If you're 36 and over, you're a geriatric.
35. I mean, 35.
But that, for anybody
it.
Who had their kids younger, that's they call, if you are pregnant,
us
they call
geriatrics.
You a geriatric mum if you're 35 and over and you're pregnant. Just in case you didn't know what we were laughing about.
So we were all geriatric mums.
All geriatric mums. because I was geriatric, we decided to put two embryos back in during the second IVF process. So it was always a possibility that it would be twins. And then we got a positive pregnancy test, which was amazing. And the IVF clinic that we had done it through, they got us back in for a 6-week viability scan just to make sure that it wasn't ectopic and that everything was as it should be. So we went back and the consultant who had done the procedure, and, you know, she had put the two embryos back in herself with her own hands. She scanned me and she said, there you go. There's the heartbeat. There's the sac. Everything's fine. But basically she was saying, you've got one baby inside you, off you pop. And so we were like, great, everything's fine. And then it wasn't until we went for our 12-week scan at the regular NHS hospital. And they were like, oh, is this your first scan? And we were like, no, we've had a scan already. This is just a formality. We're just here for a little look. And they scanned me and they were like, oh, so you were told it was just one baby? And we were like, yes. She was like, no, there's two. And we were like, what? And I just uncontrollably started giggling, like just could not stop giggling, to the point where my whole body was shaking from laughter and the lady that was scanning me couldn't quite get on with what she was trying to do. We were so shocked.
That is absolutely one. I shat myself anyway when I got pregnant with Autumn because Hunter was only one. So I packed them in and I conceived quite easily. I was very lucky. But we started trying really quickly because I was worried at 40 that I wouldn't be that fertile. And then actually sometimes I think, obviously endometriosis notwithstanding or any of those sorts of things, if you don't have those problems, I think your body goes, oh, we know what we're doing this time. And so you fall pregnant sometimes a lot more easily.
Yeah.
It took 2 months.
Yeah.
It took 2 months. And when I told Andy, I was like, shit. And I just crapped myself because I was like, that's a really small gap. So I mean, they call them sometimes Irish twins, don't they? But that's like one of my friends had a 14-month gap. And that's proper Irish. I mean, basically had two babies. But twins, you have my respect.
Thanks.
And an older child. Yeah. Not just twins, an older child to deal as well.
Are they all right? Are they good?
Yeah.
Are they good kids? What did you
Are
did,
they good?
Did you have two girls?
Yeah, so I've got three girls in total.
Oh, wow.
So my eldest was 8. So my eldest was 8 when the twins came along, and she was at that raw age where she was so helpful but also really engaged. Like, I'm sure if I had twins now, she would just be like, ugh, I'm not helping you. I'm off up to my room to listen to some music and read my Twilight book. Mm-hmm. Like, she just would not be interested. Whereas back then she was like loving every minute and like helping to change their nappies and going to fetch me things I needed. And
amazing, you had a nanny. Amazing.
It really was like having another pair of hands. Are they good? They are spirited. Like, we always say that, like, we really want children who will go out into this world and make something of themselves and have a say. And I feel like these kids will be those adults, but it's just so bloody exhausting to parent them when they are, when they're at this age. It's just like, could you just sit down and just play quietly, please?
Shut up. I know, because I was, because you've been quite vocal about being perimenopausal, and I was like, how does that work with 4-year-olds running around? And actually, I was similar, and that's how I think I knew my hormones started to play up, because there was a time when the kids were much younger. So when Hunter, Autumn was a toddler, she was like 18 months old. So sort of approaching the age you are now, sort of 43-ish, 42, 43. And I didn't know what version of me they were going to get, or I was going to get when I woke up. I was really like, the red mist would come down. I'm ashamed to say they probably got the odd little tap when they didn't really, because I had no patience. It was a really difficult time in my life. I actually went on antidepressants for it and was sort of diagnosed with, you know, delayed postnatal depression. But now now I look back on it, I think my hormones were, my estrogen might have been starting to drop. My happy hormones, you know, and looking back on it. But, I didn't.
It's so hard to diagnose, isn't it?
It really is. So what's been your journey then?
I mean, it was really hard for me because, I mean, you know, I had the twins, I breastfed them until they were 8 months old, and one of them started biting me.
Ow.
And Wonder Woman.
And I had a real dip when I stopped breastfeeding them, because is it oxytocin, I think, that your body produces when you're breastfeeding? And my body was producing a lot of it because I was breastfeeding two babies. And so when I stopped breastfeeding them, I really dipped. I was very low and very anxious for about a month or 6 weeks. And so I'd been through that. And then when they were about 18 months old, we went into lockdown.
Yay!
Remember that lovely whole pandemic thing that happened? And all of the kind of pressures and stress of keeping 18-month-old toddlers indoors when all they wanted to do was roam free, and I wanted to be taking them to their baby classes, their music classes, and all the rest of it. And around about that time, I started feeling anxious and just exhausted and having hot flushes. But at the time, I didn't recognize it was hot flushes because we were having a really hot summer. Mm. So there was like a real heat wave happening. But I remember saying to my husband, but I just feel really hot, like not normal hot. And it took me quite a few months to kind of join the dots because everybody was anxious. Everybody was, you know, not coping well. You know, we were all like, you know, praying at the altar of Joe Wicks and, you know, just looking to anybody and anything that could get us through this weird time that we were going through. And so it was when I started drawing the dots, I was like, I think it might be perimenopausal, but I just don't know. And so, that was really the start of me working out that that's what was happening to me.
So did you just head straight to the GP, or did you?
So,
because Sarah and I started off trying to supplement our way through it, for example.
Right. So I did a lot of reading, and I read a book that I loved called Perimenopause Power by Maisie Hill. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of, you know, watching things online, and I knew about Dr. Louise Newson from seeing her work on social media and the stuff that she was writing about online. And I went to my GP, and I had an appointment with my GP, and she seemed quite receptive, but it was very kind of like, okay, so we'll send you for some blood tests and, you know, we'll do this. And it just felt like, okay, I've got a feeling here that this is going to be quite a long, drawn out process where I'm not speaking to an expert here, because GPs can't be experts in everything, no.
Right?
So I basically made a decision quite early on to just go private. So I contacted the Newson Clinic, who at that point were only doing virtual appointments because it was the pandemic. Yeah. So I was like, okay, great. I'm just going to put myself on the waiting list. And I was on it for about 6 months before an appointment came up. And for me, it was the best thing that I ever did, because rather than having a long battle with trying to get the right treatment from a GP, I had a 20-minute phone call with a practitioner who immediately understood what I was saying. She was able to say, okay, well, these symptoms that you're experiencing, that's estrogen. These symptoms are progesterone. And also she was able to take into consideration the fact that I've got endometriosis. And so with endometriosis, you quite often don't want to be having periods because that's when the problem exacerbates. Mm. So it's when you're actually bleeding that the physical symptoms of endometriosis get worse, because parts of your body that shouldn't be bleeding do bleed, and it builds up scar tissue inside you and all sorts. So she was able to take that into consideration as well. Like, it was a real expert I was talking to, and she worked out a plan for me. She was like, right, we're going to start you off on this, we'll do this, then we'll, once we know what we're what's happening with your, how much of estrogen you need, then we'll move on to thinking about testosterone. Like, she was really considered, and I probably had about a year or 18 months worth of appointments with that clinic. And now I'm at a place where it's settled, and I feel like I've got the right treatment, it's working for me, and I feel okay about it.
That is such a wonderful story. Cautiously optimistic about is that sort of treatment will be available on the NHS before long, because this menopause dialogue has been opened, this can of worms of us irregular bitches. We're like, that we are not going to take this thing down. And so I'm just hoping that happens, because obviously that option isn't available to everybody.
And this is the thing, isn't it? And I've been reluctant. I haven't spoken a huge amount about the fact that I went down the private route, because I'm aware that it's a privilege. And I'm aware that it's not a privilege that is available to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating that people can't just ring up their GP and say, these are my symptoms, and get the same response. And there are loads of reasons why that is the case. You know, the training isn't there. It's not a mandatory module in GP medical training, even though 51% of the population go through this. But I'm with you, Sarah. I'm hopeful that one day we'll get to a point where it is possible.
But also, I think,
well, we're all shouting. We're all shouting louder, and it's a female issue, and you know, there are many medical female issues, and if the likes of us don't shout about them and point out that by paying privately you had a wondrous experience, then that's how we make change, right?
Yeah. And also, I think never be ashamed that you went, you know, or embarrassed to talk about the fact that you went private, because actually all you did was take control. And also, people forget that anybody who is prepared to and can have the privilege of going private is taking pressure off the NHS. People forget that, you know, so you're taking pressure off the NHS as well. And like, Louise is basically the template to which the NHS should look to be able to move forwards. And I honestly do believe that the experience...
I thought you meant me.
Oh, sorry. What did... Oh, Louise.
You're the template.
Really? Really? Louise, the template. Mitchell, I'll take it. Did you not see my face? I sort of went, huh?
But hopefully they'll take that, and they'll be like, this is how we need to model something that is available for menopause or perimenopausal women on the NHS. So, you know, fingers crossed. I think, you know, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. We've got to keep shouting. Yeah. People power.
Irregular.
Bitches.
Can I ask what cocktail of drugs you're on?
So I'm on a very high dose of estrogen, and I saw that there was criticism last week in the Daily Mail. I know, shock horror, there was something negative about women in the Daily Mail.
Shocking. Shocking revelation.
The first thing that time has ever happened. They were talking about how some private doctors, I think they were talking about Dr. Louise Newson, are prescribing levels of hormones that are really far above the recommended dosage. And it was really interesting, because that has happened to me. So I take a really high dosage of estrogen, and I had to battle to get my GP to issue the prescription. So what happens is that the Newson Clinic say, this is the prescription. You can then take that to your GP and get the actual prescription through the NHS, so that you're not paying massive private prescription fees. So I had a bit of a battle with my GP, who was like, this is way above what you should be taking. And what the practitioner at the Newson Clinic was saying was, yes, but what we know about HRT is that sometimes you have to take more, and that different people's bodies have different absorption rates. And so the low level of estrogen isn't working for you. The symptoms aren't going away. So we increased it really gradually until we got to a point where they did go away. And then thankfully my GP was in the end happy to prescribe it. So I've got estrogen patches that I whack on twice a week on my rear end for the estrogen. I've got a Marina coil for the progesterone. That was after about a year and a half of taking oral progesterone. And I also take testosterone as well every day. So that's my little cocktail of HRT that I take.
Because it's funny you should mention about the absorption, because when I had breast cancer last year, so I now can't take HRT. Yes. And that's fine. We're finding, I'm still mid-journey, I think, to finding out what works for me. And I'm confident that I will eventually get to a place where other drugs are really helping. But I tried the patches and the gel, and they just weren't helping. And I spoke to one of my wonderful GPs. He's just an epic man. And he mentioned testosterone as well. And he was like, not everybody absorbs. So what's right for you is not right for another woman. And so in the end, I went on the oral. I think it was Femiston. And that was great. I was great, wasn't I, Lou? I was coasting.
You were fabulous. More fabulous.
And then fucking breast cancer. And then literally when they tell you you've got breast cancer, they also say no more HRT because it was a hormone fed one. I was like, fucking fuck. But like I said.
But I also just think that's.
Yeah, go on.
That's the kind of thing where, like, surely there must be a workaround. And if we just had the time and resources and money ploughed into the research, we surely must be able to find a way to help women who have had or have breast cancer still manage their perimenopausal symptoms.
It's just a bit more rudimentary. So I take sertraline, which somebody told me the other day. Pink sisters, listen up. Sertraline, I take 100 milligrams a day for the anxiety and also hot flushes. And it does help a bit. It doesn't eradicate them completely. But also, apparently, in some studies, sertraline has been proven to somehow suppress breast cancer cells of all the anti... So I was like, well, that's the antidepressant for me. And I don't know how true that is, obviously. What do we say, Lou?
Wow.
What do we say?
We're not doctors.
But somebody just
apart from you, because you're the template for the NHS, Louise.
Oh, no, I am now a doctor. I have watched every episode of ER. I did say that to Dr. Carr, didn't I? I said I have watched every episode of ER, so I am actually.
And I'm Grey's Anatomy, so I'm pretty good at brain surgery and heart surgery.
You understand?
Yeah.
I got a B in biology, so you know it makes us all do. What did you get in biology then, Ali?
I got a C in biology.
I got a B.
Oh,
yeah.
You see, so there we go. BBC, well, we're fine. BBC. And so you're all fine now. Everything. Are you literally like where I was? Are you like high-fiving yourself every morning and going, yes, I don't feel hormonal?
I think so. But then also, like, life's just tiring, right? And also, I've got four-year-old twins. So I don't know. I don't know whether I'm just tired, Sarah.
Yeah, how do you do it?
And I don't know whether that's a hormonal
thing. No, it's not a hormonal thing because it's bonkers. You're a bit like me. It's like you've got... How many jobs have you got? Last count. How many jobs?
Well, I've got one part-time job at Netmums.
Yeah.
And then I also... I do my podcast, which is Not Another Mummy podcast. I'm just launching a new podcast called Twinning It, which is about having twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I do Instagrammy bits. Yeah, like... I write, I'm 40,000 words into a novel as well.
Ooh.
So, you know, I'm just bits and pieces here and there.
When I saw the title of your podcast, Alison, I read it as Not Another Mummy podcast. And I thought, that's a bit rough.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because the title came from, so I started my blog in 2011. And I felt like there were so many mummy blogs. And there were, at the time, there were so many mummy blogs. And so I was trying to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, like, not another mummy blog, here comes another one. And yeah, that then I then took that title over to the podcast, which was ironic because I think it was one of the first mum podcasts ever. Like, I launched, like, maybe 3 weeks before Giovanna Fletcher launched her podcast.
You were first. I was first.
Nice. Sorry, G.
Leading the way.
And now you cannot move for bloody mum podcasts. So, yeah, it's kind of a bit ironic, really.
Yeah. And, well, we feel a bit like that with the old menopause podcast. Because there weren't that many when we started ours. We did it 2019, end of...
That's why we did it.
We were like, there's nothing out there for people to moan. There's nowhere for midlife women to moan.
Well, we talked about it.
And we got it sorted, yeah.
We talked about it for about a year before we actually did the thing about it.
I just think you cannot have too many. And I think that just in the same way that, you know, there are so many magazine articles about a topic or books, you know, you can't have too many conversations about whether it's motherhood or whether it's the menopause or whatever the issue is. Just let's get talking about it. The more the better.
Irregular
bitches.
I don't know about Lou's style is on fleek. I'd just like to say that. She's always looks good. I am lost.
Got the template for it.
I am sartorially lost at the moment. I feel like I'm straddling. I don't know, where can I go and shop? I go into H&M. That would usually be my go-to, but I don't find much in there anymore. I would love to be Bowden Lady, but who can afford to be Bowden Lady? Yeah. Or Mint Velvet or Hush or any of those really beautiful high-end, mid-age, midlife places. Is there somewhere I'm not trying?
Yes, there is. Yes. There is somewhere very important that you're not trying, Sarah, and I've got it for you. It's somewhere that you can buy Bowden and Hush and Mint Velvet and all of those things at a low price, and that is Vinted. You need to get involved with Vinted.
Well, I did buy some Bowden jeans from Vinted recently for a tenner. They were unworn. They didn't have tags.
There we go.
So, so I need to go there as well. Also, did I see you been in Matalan recently? You go to Matalan?
I love a bit of Matalan.
I never go into Matalan.
I do love a bit of Matalan.
Yeah? Shall I try Matalan?
I love Matalan for like dresses. Mm. So things that you can just chuck on and in the wintertime with a pair of tights and boots or trainers and a bare leg in the summer and a denim jacket. And they always wash well, and you quite often don't even have to iron them because I'm not really friends with my iron and ironing board. And they're not expensive. And I know that people have a lot of negative things to say about fast fashion, but fashion is only fast if you buy loads of it, wear it only once or twice, and then chuck it in landfill. You know, I have got Matalan dresses that I have bought 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I still wear them. So to me, that's not fast fashion. So I feel okay with you know, where I buy my clothes.
Yeah.
And also, we don't all have the luxury of being able to afford the, you know, more high-end places like you were just saying.
Yeah.
So I think for me, a mix of buying secondhand, more expensive things on Vinted and then going into the kind of more affordable shops, that works for me.
Lou and I both live in town. So Lou is in Stamford in Lincolnshire, soon to be Norwich, and I'm in Leigh-on-Sea, and they're both really quite, like, I guess, chichy in places. And so the Chazzas are epic. The Chazza shops are great. It's like Chiswick High Road. Chiswick High Road in London. People.
What's a Chazza?
A charity shop, darling.
What is a Chazza
shop?
Chazza shop.
Oh, Lou, get with the program.
You gotta love a Chazza shop.
Come on, Chazza. Never heard of a Chazza shop.
I've been frequenting the charity shops. But I have never heard it called a Chazza.
You've been frequenting the Chazzas, babe.
Yeah,
it's
the
Chazzas. Well, I don't. I just stop outside.
Oh, Louise, you're such a snob.
I'm not. My son is 17. He only wears clothes from charity
shops. Good for you, Johnny.
He refuses to buy. And happy birthday, Lola.
Happy birthday. I love that. I'm going to do all of those.
I love a Chazza shop. I love a Chazza shop, and not just for where I live in Bromley, they're not so good for clothing, But for kids' clothing and for books, I am all over it. And I go into like a Chazza shop and buy like fancy dress costumes for my 4-year-olds for
amazing.
Like a quid.
Perfect.
And because they're going to get wrecked anyway, because they just wreck them with like paint and ripping them and all sorts. So a quid from the Chazza shop, done.
Oh, I love it.
That's what I've been dropping off. The shops of Stamford are full of them.
I wish we were the same size. I'd be home. I'd be back. I am going to come and visit you in Norwich, because Norwich, people, if you've never been, go to Norwich shopping. It is, I think, the best town in the country for shopping. Mm. It's amazing.
Mm. I'm excited to be back in the city because I came from London to Stamford. So I'm ready to... Norwich isn't London, obviously, but I'm ready to be back in the city and all that entails.
It's out of the bloody sticks, mate.
Not Stamford.
Bloody Norwich. I used to...
That's hard to get to.
Yeah, I did a heart breakfast show there, Alison, just after I had autumn. I did the heart breakfast show, yeah, out there. And I didn't hate Norwich, but I hated getting up early. And the irony, of course, is that I had like, you know, a 50 grand a year job, and most of that money went on petrol and a nanny so that I could do the job.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
not ideal.
Because I had to leave the house at like 4 in the morning, and Andy had to leave from Cambridge to get into London. Anyway, I'm digressing.
Irregular bitches.
Alison, you are so amazing. I don't know how you do it all. I would just like to say, in a mummy way, and I know I'm not that much older than you, but 6 years, but just you know, you time. Take some you time.
Yeah.
Breathe.
It's important, yeah. Isn't it?
Do you do any? I told you last night I was off to yoga, and my hour at yoga on a Tuesday night is, oh my God. She does, Meg, my yoga teacher, there were loads of us last night. She doesn't do like hatha yoga or any of, or she just does lots of breathing and stretching. So it's perfect for midlife women. And I just always feel like a warmed up piece of blue tack by the time she's finished with me. And I've just lain basically on a mat, done some nice stretching and breathed it deeply loads and done this.
So hopefully just like
so
that.
Satisfying.
I love it. That's it.
What do you do, Alison? Do you do anything to self-care?
Yeah, I go to a gym class. I do a lot of body pump because, as we know, weight training is important when you are in our age. So I do a few body pump classes. And I've got something quite exciting coming up soon, actually. I'm going to have a whole week of me time because I'm heading off in May to the body camp in Mallorca. Have you heard of it?
Yes, my friend Mel's done it. It looks amazing.
It's a holistic health retreat, and it's body and mind, and it's a whole week of just focusing on you. Yeah. And so I'm going to do that in May, which I'm
very excited
about.
I am going to save my network marketing thousands and do that one day. Mel posted a picture. My friend Mel posted a picture after she did it, and there was somebody famous. In fact, there were probably a few famous people. So I wonder who will be on your course, because it is favoured by the famous, isn't it?
Yeah, there have been a few celebs go on it. So we'll see. Yeah. I'll come back like Bezzy Mates with like one of the Appletons or something.
Okay. Well, would you do us a favour? Would you say, oh, Sarah Kay and Louise Mitchell got this amazing podcast. You've got to go on. You've got to go on, babe.
You've got to go on it. I'll do it.
Alison, thank you very, very much for being... I knew you'd be amazing, and you are. You're everything and more, and you are an irregular bitch for most definite. Isn't she, Luby?
That's a compliment. That is a compliment.
For you. Thank you so much for having me today.
I mean, we're never going to get on BBC Sounds, are we? They'll be like, we've got a really big problem with the name of your podcast. We're not fucking changing it. So you're just... we're going to start winning awards anyway next year, so it's going to be fine. That's all from us today. But thank you so much, Alison, to my lovely husband for editing and producing us. He does not moan at me for interrupting people and getting things wrong.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't hear that.
And to you guys for being on the journey with us. Keep liking, reviewing and sharing so that we can all carry on being fabulous irregular bitches. Last words to lovely Lou.
Stay cool, bitches.
And my joke, Alison, is that I can't fucking stay cool. If you could honestly fry eggs on me in the middle of the night, it's ridiculous. Oh, we sometimes keep that end bit in. We sometimes don't. Depends. I mean, I think the joke about the fact that I'm never cool is wearing thin. But if you're still listening, thanks. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.